Now back to the Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
The Denver Nuggets lose to the Washington Wizards night by two. They are now 17-15. And this game was close the whole way through. Absolutely tight, top to bottom. After the first period, Washington led by. They won that first period by four. Denver won the second period by two. Denver won the third period by two. Washington won the fourth period by two. So, I mean, this game was back and forth all night. Nobody ever really separated. But the Nuggets end up losing on a very peculiar finish. The final sequence of the game had Nikola Jokic under the basket, getting a rebound and basically doing a, if you can envision it by watching the way Nikola Jokic plays, instead of grabbing the rebound and passing it, he just kind of volleyball tips it over to Jamal Murray. Just swats it over to him. Murray is then breaking down the court. He has two guys on him. But in the end, the Nuggets basically have a 4-2 fast break. And if you actually break it down and look at it, with 2.9 seconds left on the clock, Murray is sitting at the 3-point line. And he's double-teamed on defense, as one would expect. Standing around the three-point line from left to right of Murray, Monte Morris, Facu Campazzo, and Michael Porter Jr., all of them, all three, are just camped behind the three-point line. The only people inside the arc on a 4-2 break, down by two with 3 seconds left, are the two Washington defenders that are sticking on Jamal Murray. Nobody, not Morris, not Campazzo, not Porter, nobody cuts to the basket for what could have been a game-tying layup or slam dunk with ease, taking it to overtime. So they end up losing when Campazzo ends up taking a three-pointer at the buzzer, misses. That's not really what they have him for anyway, but a very bizarre final couple seconds to the game that ends up costing the Denver Nuggets. Joining us now is our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore. Follow him at HP Basketball on Twitter and at the Action Network. And Matt, I look at this, and I'll tell you what, I feel I'm going to say the most dad thing ever. I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. I mean, I think every Nuggets fan should feel that way. I said this was a dangerous game.
You did.
That the Wizards were probably better than most people realized. It's a bad matchup, I think, because of the guards that they have with Westbrook and Beal and the shooters. But, you know, Bertans was out. On the final play, like, look, Murray took ownership of it post-game the way that you kind of have come to expect from Jamal. He doesn't pass off blame. He doesn't get defensive. He's just like, I should have shot it. I should have shot it. I got to get to the rack. I should have scored. He did mention that one, he didn't realize the time. I think he either, I'm not sure if he thought he had more or less. I think he thought he had more time that he could pause there and then find somebody if the shot wasn't there. And that he had time to look for an optimum look. And so he copped that post game. He also said that he thought Porter was cutting. And Porter didn't.
Right.
And Michael Porter did not cut. And, Murray said that Porter thought he was going to shoot. But if that's the case, why does Porter drift to the corner versus going for an offensive rebound? Because Porter just, like, spreads out the floor.
Right.
I think Campazzo deserves some of, not maybe the blame, but the fact that he is, we've talked about this before, he's so small, if he tries to cut there, it either gets blocked or there's a possibility that Jamal simply can't see him, and that's an issue, as was the small ball lineup for the entire fourth quarter, which was bad. So there's a lot of blame to go around here. I think the one thing you can say is there's been this conversation. You can't call timeout. You got a 4-on-1.
Right.
You got to get a bucket there. I think the biggest blame goes on Murray, and then the secondary blame goes to Porter.
Murray, it's up tweeting after the game, my fault, Nuggets Nation, on to the next one, stick with us. And I agree. I mean, Porter Jr. is at least, when you're looking at the there's a screenshot, but basically a still of 2.9 seconds left. And it is literally Murray who's double covered on the 3-point arc. And then, you have Monte Morris, then Campazzo, then Porter. And they're all just standing around the 3-point line. there is a part of me that wants to be the old man get off my lawn going, wow, is this 2021 NBA?
No. I get it. That's not how they're coached. That's not how they're taught. That's not how this works. Like the Nuggets coaches are not like, did not go, like Malone after the game was not like, that's what we wanted. Like, that's not the case. And he would have said so. Like, you've got to, and you know, and they said it after, like, Murray said that immediately afterwards. He said, guys, you got to focus up. Like, you got to cut there. And then, you know, Malone talked about it after the game. Like, you got to get a layup there. You just do. This isn't the modern NBA. This isn't analytics. This was really just, I think Porter, because of everything that's gone on, doesn't know whether to be overly aggressive or underly aggressive. I think that Facu Campazzo, because of his height and skill set, is a bad combination in that particular situation. And I think that Jamal Murray had a momentary lapse where he didn't realize the time and didn't make the correct move to get to the rim.
We're talking with our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore, and I guess I was talking to Dylan about this in the booth over the break, that in this case, look, it's against an Eastern Conference team. It's a loss you don't like to take. But there is a part of me who, watching this team all year and watching the fact that mentally this team is not quite in sync the way that we saw the team last year. It's a different team, as you've broken down. I don't hate the way they lost, because just like a kid who – you can tell them a million times, don't put your hand on the stove, it'll burn you. Every single one of us put our hand on the stove, right? That's how you learn. So I guess I look at this and think, they needed to get that lesson. I don't know if this is the worst thing in the world for them.
I mean, I would say that, but they haven't been good in any of the clutch games this year, Sean. They don't win those close games anymore. That's a big difference in this year and the team from the last two seasons. And it's, I think it's partly the roster makeup with who they've lost, but I think it's also the experience that they've lost. I think it's also the kind of players they have, and with injuries, they have to rely on those players more. They're so small. The Wizards had 5 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter,
right?
Because Malone felt forced to go to Murray, Campazzo, Morris, and it was just very painfully obvious. And like, Will Barton had a very bad game, like, and truly awful game with bad shot selection. You just needed a bigger person on the court, just a bigger body. And, like, Will Barton, RJ Hampton, those two dudes are cutting to the rim, and they're getting a layup. I feel confident in saying that. So part of this is just, like, the identity of who they are. I think them being shorthanded has a big part of it, but that's life in 2020 NBA. 2021 NBA for you. Everyone's shorthanded. Everyone's hurt. Everyone's banged up. But the Nuggets are very mistake prone in key situations. And everyone knows they got to get to Murray and they got to get to Jokic. And the other players have got to do a better job of making plays around them in clutch times.
The development of Michael Porter Jr., I mean, I agree with you. At a certain point, look, Jamal Murray's the guy making $25 million a year. He has to know what time is on the clock. That's not an unreal expectation. And he took that on himself after the game. But when it comes to Porter Jr., who had really a pretty good game, you make that kind of mistake at the end where he definitely should have cut. Somebody should have cut. Anybody should have cut. But Porter Jr. is the first choice there. How much does this set him back? The way Michael Malone's relationship is with Michael Porter Jr., is this something where all of a sudden we're going to see him with a lot less minutes the next game?
You know, I mean, honestly, I think if anything, I think it's probably something for Malone to think about and address and probably go the other way. Like, you wanted to break him of bad habits, but the result of that is that he's now drifting to the corner instead of cutting for a layup. And at that point, it's like, okay, you know, it's probably time to rebuild the kid a little bit. And he's been on that and he's played better. I thought he had a really good first half. He was pretty poor in the second half. His defense lapsed. The other thing is it wasn't just on that layup. There was another play late in the game inside 2 minutes. The Nuggets got a good rotation, good ball movement, and found Porter wide open in the corner. And because he wants to be the guy that's making the right pass and not playing selfishly, he passed up a great look to Murray, who then had like a contested off-balance three because the rotation had caught up to Murray. It's tough. It's like, if he takes shots out of the turn in the offense, that's a bad shot. Don't do that. If he passes up a shot, that's good. To try and get a better one, you got to take that shot. Like, it's hard. It's really difficult, but this is what we talk about when we say his timing's a little bit off and that the flow is a little bit off of him. I don't think that this is a major setback for him. And honestly, the way he's bounced back from the Celtics game has reassured me a little bit. But I do think it's probably time to start getting Porter back into a little bit more of an aggressor mode.
That's probably fair. He is Matt Moore. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at HB Basketball and over at the Action Network. This will be an interesting weekend for the Denver Nuggets to see how they bounce back from this. But you're right. The Porter Jr. experimented. They're going to have to force feed it and make it work. We'll find out how that happens when we get back in touch next week. Thanks so much for the time, man.
Talk to you, Sean.
All right, thank you. Porter Jr. ends up with 18 points and 10 boards, and I think the point he makes is very good. And he was right top to bottom. Look, Jamal Murray took the blame for it. I don't think it's entirely on all Jamal Murray, but he is the guy with the big paycheck. You have to know what to do. Maybe you need to be the guy taking the shot. I get it. Porter Jr. needs to cut. Absolutely. He did that wrong. And then what Matt is pointing out is really valuable, because what Porter Jr. is not doing is exactly what he said. He's not being the aggressor because he's nervous that he's taking shots away from Jokic and Murray. Want to know what you think? The Johnson Auto Plaza hotline is 303-713-1043. Want to take a look a little bit at what Michael Porter Jr. has done now that he's basically become a starter in Paul Millsap's absence. Look at the good, look at the bad. What it might mean for the Nuggets. This is a team that's only two games over 500. They're in a little bit of trouble. We'll talk about it next.